Thank you for checking out Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this podcast. If you listen and you like the content, then make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave a review. Please do that. And also go check me out on some of my other platforms. I have a long-running YouTube channel. I've got a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. If you're interested in becoming a CRA or you're interested in getting a career in this industry, go to thecraacademy.com. If you're a research site owner interested in getting more studies for your site or negotiating better contracts for your site, go to my blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com, and check it out. I offer consulting services. If you're a pharma, biotech, life sciences company, a CRO, I own a startup CRO, and we're here to help you, whatever it is you want. If you're a CRO, we can white label a lot of services for you. We have CRA coverage across the country at cost. We can do this at scale. If you're a pharma company, we are a full service CRO, and we're very confident in our pricing, and we are extremely competitive at bidding. And if you're also interested in your own digital marketing and leveraging a podcast maybe for yourself, reach out to me, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Again, thank you very much and enjoy the show.
Guru Nation, welcome to episode, you want to guess? Venture a guess? Be that as it may. It's my new favorite expression, be so that as it may.
I don't recall the last one, so this is really a guess, 252.
Wow, right, exactly right.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Exactly right.
First time I have no clue.
I know, there's no prize to win. You win a Diet Coke.
Hey, look at that.
All right.
My favorite.
Okay, so we got a question from a listener. Thank you very much. I'm going to find it right now. It's about bid proposals for CRO. So let me search through my inbox while I find it. Give them a spiel about the book. What are you coming to LA for
tomorrow?
Before
the book.
Okay, anything.
For some reason, Dan thinks I have something to offer to this video, but we'll see.
Oh, you have much to offer.
Yeah, okay.
Wa-ha-ha-ha.
So tomorrow we're going to do our audio version of the book.
Going to LA.
At least part of it. Right? Part. Whole thing or part?
No, I think half.
Half.
If we're lucky, half.
Okay. So, yeah. Should be fun tomorrow.
Yeah. So, try not to get sick.
Color commentary on the book.
Yes. Bid proposal. Let me go through my inbox here. Oh, here we go. Found it right away. Just searched bid proposal.
There you go.
Okay. My name is...
Blank.
Yes. And I came across your blog and website, like sugar cane.
Typo. M and N are close to one another.
I'm just messing with this person. Great content, by the way. I'm new to this field and have been in healthcare for some time. I've recently taken a new position and been researching the CRO space and been asked to review samples and or examples or bid proposals for clinical trials. However, I've searched high and low and can't find anything at all. How do you search high and low?
Well, you search down by your feet and you search up in the clouds.
No, I know how it works in the jungle and like how our ancestors did it, but online.
It's an expression.
I think high probably would mean top of the Google search.
That's not what that means.
And low would mean like page 5 of the Google search results.
It's just an expression for I've looked everywhere.
I'm just messing with this person. Again. Can you suggest a site, book, or do you have any templates that I can review to see how bid proposals are formatted? I understand each drug study will be different. However, it will give me something to at least go by.
So, my first question is, because I really don't know. I've never...
First of all, I got to laugh at the... You know, this person obviously doesn't understand how secretive this industry is.
That's where I was kind of going.
You don't just find bid proposals like on Google.
Right.
But for CRO bid proposals.
You probably could find a contract for research, right, for a site.
Let's search high and low right now. Okay, I'm going to do CRO bid proposal. You're not going to find anything.
See, I
bid defenses, considerations, and best practices. Okay, Clinical Trials Arena. One of the first videos you get is me, Luke Eddington, and somebody named Kathy Barnett. These are, so there are stuff there, but they don't actually, okay, let's click on this bid.
How about research bidding on a project?
Research bidding?
Right, clinical trials bidding on a project.
All right, but let's, okay, so here's a bid defense article from clinicaltrialsarena.com, who I've never heard of. And I could see why I never heard of it. There is...
no content.
Nothing on here. Yeah. So the title's nice.
Yeah, that's sure.
Exactly what we want.
Sure.
There's no content on here.
So try a different search. Like I said, clinical
trials.
All right,
what do you want me to search?
Clinical trials.
Clinical trials.
Bidding on a project or bidding on a study. Something
bidding
like that.
On a study. A 7-day crossover study, efficacy and safety of... I'm not getting what we're looking for.
And
again, my video
and Luke
Eddington.
Yeah.
From mine is from 2 years ago. Luke's is from 4 already. We're going to meet with him in San Diego again.
Yeah, I know, along with somebody else.
Yeah.
So, why do you think that you... a user would be unable to find a search result for this.
I mean,
we each worked for a whole 2 minutes here, but didn't find anything.
What do you mean? So,
why? I mean, like I said initially, I think if I were to search for a clinical trial contract between sponsor or CRO and site, I could find one, I think. Right? I think I could find an example of one.
Okay.
But why not for the CRO aspect, bidding on a trial?
Because it's the competition is maybe in the dozens at the CRO level.
And no, there's more CROs than that.
In the dozens, like multiple dozens, maybe like five dozen.
200, I would guess.
5 dozen.
That's it? 60?
I mean, can you name more than 10?
No, but there's a lot of smaller or niche CROs.
So, okay, maybe like several hundred.
Right.
But the sites are like hundreds of thousands
of
sites.
Sure, true.
So there's more info out there. Good point. And the sites are, a lot of the sites are universities, and they're required to
post their information,
their policies.
Right.
You know, that's where that's built the foundation for my first company's SOPs was from UCLA's.
Right.
Research.
They're public and they have to post.
Yeah. So with CROs, they're all publicly traded.
Right.
Those are considered industry secrets. And this is going to be podcast exclusive. No YouTube. We can actually turn that off if you want, or just let it go.
Why no YouTube?
I think this will be better for just audio only.
Nobody on YouTube wants to see this, huh?
It's more of a let's learn about how to manage my site and.
Okay.
The people into this stuff are on the podcast.
Okay.
The people who geek out over this.
All right. Fair enough.
So that's my answer. I think it's the secrecy's there all across the board. But with the CROs, you've got, the big ones.
Okay, so I got a question.
They're all publicly traded. They're not going to share their bids. And so I kind of like the naivete of this person's question because you can tell how innocent they are.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So I know you come from the perspective that more information is better. That's why you do these YouTube videos, right?
Right.
So do you see in any way that...
or at least kiss the podcast.
Having more information about this topic and all topics related to research, do you think an example, say Excel spreadsheets and stuff... do you think that benefits the industry in any way? If that were readily available, those items.
Yeah, I think it benefits the industry at large.
Why? Why would it benefit the industry?
Because it will give new entrants.
This person that's emailing you.
Or like us 2 years ago when we truly didn't know what a bid proposal was. If you would ask this question, listener, 3 years ago, we wouldn't have done a podcast. We had to go and basically reverse engineer a protocol and come up with costs, which is what you're going to have to do. But luckily for you, you have this podcast. We're going to do it for you. Reverse engineer it.
We're going to do it for
Why not? Yeah, and we'll give a price range. I think it would help the sponsors, to answer your question, when they're selecting CROs. I think it would hurt many of the established CROs, most of the established
CROs. But do sponsors look at it like, in a sense, a catch-22 where, like with sites and PIs, right? They maybe want you to have experience. So those who are inexperienced, we don't even want you bidding on this. We want you to have experience.
There's no incentive really in...
to bring on research-naive CROs. So why even give them the information? We don't want their bids, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the very paradigm of do we even need CROs is gaining more prevalence now from sponsors. So why bring on more?
But the entire industry is kind of catch-22. Where do you get the experience when nobody wants you... Right.
But the difference between the CRO, the difference between a research naive CRO and a research naive site is really that research naive CRO has nothing of value to contribute. The research naive site does. They have patients. And probably research naive patients,
right,
which is double value for the sponsors. They're not recycled patients from other studies.
Sure.
They're not professional patients. So there's a lot of value to extract from the research naive sites, and there is more, and there's not enough, by the way. This is where we make our money.
Right.
With ESCS is helping research naive. I mean, we help established sites too, but we help research naive sites like really get off the ground.
Yeah, I agree.
So there's an incentive for that. There's not, at least that I've heard of or I can see, any incentive for a new CRO to enter the space. Outside of these virtual trial CROs, because those are out there, and there is a need for that, but for a traditional CRO, unless the CRO's focus is to specialize on some orphan disease, rare disease, or like we were thinking of doing like something for CBD.
Right.
You know, like you have to find a niche. I think there's value there, especially for the orphan and rare diseases.
So if we were to put together a manual...
But, and not to interrupt you, but for the orphan and rare diseases would be the most value.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, it'll be very hard to get any startup to focus on that when they have a limited market, right? But that might be the best thing for them.
Okay, so if we were to put together a very detailed and very specific step-by-step manual... On how is a CRO, a new entrant to the CRO field, to bid, right? You think that would upset sponsors?
That's a very good question. So, say it again. I'm pulling up this bid proposal we did.
We put together a very specific and step-by-step manual, right?
Yes.
On how to do this.
Yes.
And we have some, but limited experience. Yes. So what we know of, right, on bid defenses and everything else, right? So they may not be able to, sponsors wouldn't be able to readily, say, distinguish between an experienced CRO and an inexperienced one, right? Do you think that would upset them? We're kind of doing this with the CRA Academy.
We're helping.
Limited fashion.
Yeah, we're, instead of helping companies... get in, we're helping employees or future employees get in.
Right.
No, I haven't seen any negative feedback from sponsors or CROs regarding our students. Actually, the opposite. I've heard good things.
Yeah, I have too.
Right. Or neutral at best. I have yet to receive a complaint.
We're getting referrals.
Yeah, I've yet to receive a complaint from a sponsor or CRO that says, hey, this
person...
But
I think this is different a little bit.
Yeah, but I have yet to get an email or a phone call from a sponsor or CRO that says, this person who we hired went to your academy. It's not like we're hiding. We're all over. If you want to Google the CRA Academy, you'll find me.
Right.
This person went to your academy, and I don't know why you're doing this academy. This person's horrible. I haven't gotten that. And we've been doing it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much half of our students get hired right away.
Right. Wow. Right? Right away, 6 months.
Within 6 months, yeah, relatively speaking, right away.
Yeah.
Okay, so as far as helping CROs,
I think they would be a little bit more upset.
I actually think, you know who, from a sponsor perspective, wouldn't be upset?
Yeah, investigators.
investigators or like brand new companies that have never done studies before.
Yeah, it would actually
it would help them. Like, let's say you have this biotech or med device company or diagnostics company or CBD company that's doing their first clinical trial.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at the stage right now where they're procuring vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, we should probably use a CRO, but how do we know, you know, what they even do? How do we know what's a fair price?
Right.
Unless we get multiple bids, and then we kind of like, even then, you know. Right. So if that would help them,
sure.
A step-by-step manual.
Sure, I can see that.
I think it would upset a lot of the big CROs. I think it would. And I don't know about the big sponsors, like the J&J's.
Yeah, I think it would too. I think it would upset them too.
Yeah?
I think so.
Why?
Because I don't think they want to work with research naive or very limited experience.
So then they don't have to. Those kind of companies wouldn't anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those kind of companies have the budgets for it, and they're not going to be allowed to use startups for CROs, or at least for important projects.
Not that I want to create this manual. I was just throwing ideas out there. Yeah,
we just finished writing a book, Chris.
Yeah.
Easy. Let me find this proposal. Do you remember anything about this proposal?
Mm-mm.
I'm looking for the last one. Okay. Basically, it's a fee schedule that I have. But it will help anyone listening in...
You could have pulled up the bid proposal for...
What we did with a few of our clients.
Yeah, I think this is one.
This is the one, but it's the last one I found. Okay. So there's a couple of things, and I don't know if this is all inclusive. We are, 2.5 years into our CRO?
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 projects that we for sure have.
3.
What's the third?
Well, we have 2.5. 2 okay. With the same investigator.
Yeah, 2 for oncology.
Right, and then the half of one with somebody that we're close to, kind of.
Really?
Yeah, his name's Andrew.
CRO project?
Kinda.
Oh, okay.
No and yes, right? Initially we were, and then Andrew...
Oh, okay, okay. So anyways, the point of all this is, you know, I mean, this is like a lot of what goes into a bid proposal. I don't know if it's everything, but it's certainly thorough enough for somebody who doesn't know... first thing about what should go on there. So you can't really do a bid proposal without having the synopsis of the protocol. You have to know how many sites approximately,
mm-hmm.
and how many patients,
mm-hmm.
right, at the minimum. Then you got to figure out a monitoring plan, right? We got to figure out how often the monitors go out. Are we using central monitoring? Are we using remote monitoring? Are we using on-site monitoring? Risk-based, traditional, right? So then you have a study tracking system, like a CTMS. We'll just go through everything.
Oh, I think first step is...
Go ahead. I'm going to pull up something
responsibilities.
Else.
Responsibilities. What's the CRO going to be responsible for, right?
Yeah.
Like, what vendors are they going to, if any, are they going to be responsible for acquiring?
Sure.
All of that is initial, too.
Yeah, so let's assume this is full service. Let's assume...
So then you need to know... Is there going to be a central IRB, which there should be? Are they going to have central laboratory?
Yeah, no. Let's assume this full service. The sponsor knows nothing, and the CRO has to do everything.
Guide everything.
Just like we were asked. Okay. Everything. The sponsor doesn't even know what an IRB is. It's hard to believe, but let's pretend that's the case.
That'd be scary, but okay.
Yeah. So, and then I'm going to pull up one of the most recent proposals we did. I have the numbers. But now I'm pulling up the wording for it. Okay. And this is exciting, fascinating stuff.
Yeah, the book made me sleep.
Chris, you better not be sick tomorrow. We need to read half of that book.
Oh my god. Okay.
Okay. So let's assume sponsor wants full service. Yeah, they don't know the first thing about research.
Doing simple math here, but go ahead.
Okay. Bid proposal, okay? Now, the difference between a bid proposal and a bid defense, this took me a while to figure out too. When sponsors are asking for a proposal, it's also called a RFP, mm-hmm. Request for Proposal.
Right.
I used to think that was the same thing as a bid defense.
The defense is when you have to defend what you're asking
exactly.
for.
Exactly. So when sponsors send out RFPs, they're trying to get numerous proposals from different vendors, from right. different CROs, and they're comparing them. And then they put you against one another. You don't actually get to know who the person is, but they say, this person said they're going to do it for this.
They're trying to lower the cost.
Yeah, they're lowering line by line, too. Okay. So in the proposal I did, we have an executive summary. So it's basically the objective of the study. In this one, it was study startup to close out under a 10-month assumption, conduct a study monitoring, including individualized monitoring plans with a risk-based approach, data management, regulatory, IRB submissions, pharmacovigilance, and utilizing sites in California, in this particular thing, for 100 subjects with condition XYZ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the goals, okay? Enroll on time under budget directly via the patient population of the PI private practice, database, booster visits, encourage site enrollment and retention, online webinars and telephone. In addition, retrospective chart reviews will be utilized if prior consent obtained by patients per IRB. All this has to go in there. Okay. Obtain quality data through pre-planned on-site monitoring visits, weekly remote monitoring visits, using our virtual workspace. Additional elements of effective trial management will be utilized, such as EDC, CTMS, ePRO, which are patient-reported outcomes. We're going to talk about all these things right now. If these tools are already available by the sponsor, we will use yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what these things are, we know vendors who will work with us.
Right.
All right, we have preferred vendors. We'll give you a good deal on it because they like us.
Hopefully.
That's what we put in the bid proposal, all right? So here's the outline. Protocol submission to the IRB, EDC design and randomization screening schematics, site selection, IRB submissions for the sites, you want to see? Development of monitoring, startup regulatory, site training on all the vendors. I mean, it's a lot of work. Site initiation. The study hasn't even started yet. Look at all the stuff I've said.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have study management. Recruitment and retention initiative, database locks, interim database review, ongoing real-time analysis, AEs, monitoring letters, trial master files, SUSARs.
All the fun stuff.
Right? And then there's data management, biostatisticians. Then there's study closeout. And then study reporting in conjunction with biostatisticians
mm-hmm.
and medical writers. That takes a lot of time as a CRO.
So I'm
and
curious.
A lot of time for you, the project manager.
I'm curious, yeah.
Yeah.
So Luke is probably...
Luke does this all the time because he does nothing but CRO.
That was going to be my question. So how many bid proposals do you think he puts in a year? And of those, how many do you think he wins?
We have to ask him. I don't know.
I have no idea? You've no never idea. Asked him?
They are Australia's oldest CRO, so they probably win a lot.
But you've never asked him this.
And they probably don't win the ones that they don't want.
Again, you've never asked him this, though?
No.
Okay.
No. That would be a good question, though. Can you remember it for when we meet with him again in...
Yeah, right. In 2 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're funny. Remember a question 2 months ago? Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're going to DIA.
I can't remember a question from yesterday.
If anyone wants to meet up with us, we're going to DIA in San Diego in June. And then we have our own conference. Actually, we need to call that guy. Tim, from our conference. We have our own conference in October in Orlando.
It's looking like that might actually happen.
Yeah, it is looking like that might happen. We need to call him next. Okay, so now we're going to get into budget, the actual proposal. Estimates do include pass-through costs of both primary vendors for study management. Vendor 1 is a trial master file system. Vendor 2 is an EDC risk-based monitoring, ePRO, analytics, and AI. This kind of does everything. And IWRS we should have put in there.
Because mm-hmm.
they do that as well. Some costs are on an ongoing monthly basis, while others are flat fee, such as initial regulatory setup. Again, this is an optional thing. If the sponsor wants has their own, they'll use theirs. Let's get into the cost, because this is boring, people. If this is boring you, Chris, it's boring others as well. All right. Costs.
Costs. That's always fun.
So you got to know the number of sites first. If you're going to do a proper bid proposal, you got to know a couple of things. How many sites, how many subjects, what's the indication, and how long? Mm. How long is the enrollment period going to be?
You're in responsibilities, but we said this is already full service.
Yes. How long is the enrollment going to be, and how long is this actual study from screening till end of study for the patient? Mm-hmm. So you can time it out.
Yeah.
For all you project managers out there, I'm talking to you, Vincent. We need to call him next to you. He's got to get his EDC training for our project.
No, I saw that.
Yeah.
But we're still not sure who it's with.
No, it's with Ty.
Well, I didn't see that.
That's who was CC'd on there. Ty's people.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, we're using that vendor.
Yeah, but
not a well-known vendor.
I didn't see a response to whether or not it's one-on-one or...
It was one-on-one with him was his response.
Right, but still, this Ty person hasn't gotten back.
Yeah, it'll be one-on-one.
It's a lot of one-on-ones.
Yeah, well...
It's all the sites, all the CRAs, and management.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they have an automated training system. Huh. Right. This is not metadata we're talking
well,
about.
Well, even the smaller ones have it.
I know that we can find out. We can call them next. All right, so you got to know that. Okay, sites, how long, enrollment window, enrollment period, and then how long the study lasts. Because you got to scope it all out. Right, there's a lot of months, sometimes years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Study tracking system. This is CTMS. Okay. In this case, we put that that costs nothing because it's all included in the EDC.
Got another question.
For this particular vendor, which I'm trying to see if I can find it here. Yeah, see, that was expensive.
So I have another question for you.
All right, go ahead.
So in bid response, right, bid defense.
Bid defense, yeah.
Bid defense. I have heard many individuals tell me that I have worked on bid defenses and initial bids.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody's lowballing everybody, right? This is not what they're charging,
right? Because that's how we lost. We were naive on our first bid we've ever, our first RFP ever.
Yeah, they said we came in second.
We came in second, and we were underbid by a lot.
Yeah. So, and there's just no way you could have done it for much less. So,
right.
So, come to find out, yes, everybody bids very low. Right.
Right.
Once they're appointed and once they have their hooks in, then it's all requesting more and more, more and more money.
Hey, we can't do this
anymore. So just a pointer to whoever that's going to listen to this, if you're putting in a bid, you need to make your costs very low.
Well, if you're putting in a bid, you should hire me and Chris as consultants.
But
on an hourly rate, what's your hourly rate, young chap?
I don't know, $250.
Don't sell yourself short, man.
So. Here's a question, though. Could a, and I, you know, this is not something I've encountered or asked, but could a bid defense be, how can you charge so little? The sponsor asking.
Yeah. They can ask anything they want.
Sure. You think that happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The savvy sponsors that know.
I would think so, too.
The ones that already have, have done this before.
Right.
And know, okay, there's no way you can get an EDC for, like, $5,000.
Right.
Cheapest ones are, like, $70.
Right.
Right?
50, I think.
That's what it was in this one, but they include an IWRS and a CTMS and a patient-reported outcomes.
Right.
In that case, you're saving money with this vendor.
Sure.
Right. Plus, they had a monthly fee. So let's go to the EDC first. Okay, $70,000 for the setup fee, and then $5,000 a month for the duration of this study. $5,220. For the every month for the duration of the study, if the study's maxed out with the patients.
Right.
This particular vendor charged per patient.
Yeah.
Because they're EDC, they're patient-reported outcomes, they are IWRS.
They're all in one, basically.
And there's even some analytics, like, as a back end.
Right.
With AI, which I don't know what the AI does. I talked to my buddy Andrew Mitchell from Viva.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, a legit... billion-dollar company. They're the biggest, basically, technology vendor in this space. And he said they don't even have AI capabilities at this point. So anyone who says they do is just full of crap. Because, I mean, it depends on what degree of AI you're talking about. Sure. But it's just a marketing shtick right now.
Right.
No one's actually using AI for studies, at least not yet. Not in 2019.
Well, we can talk about AI all day. There's no true AI out there in any form.
You love it.
Yeah.
Can you talk about it for 2 minutes while I use bathroom?
For 2 minutes? No.
Yeah. Go through these costs.
I can talk about it for about 30 seconds.
Go through these costs. I'll be right back. Guru Nation, I gotta do this.
Oh, you can just pause it.
No, just go through these costs really quick.
I don't even know where you, I don't know where you left off.
SSV, SIV, I'll be right back.
Alright, so SIV is... Well, first, to finish my thought on AI, as far as I know, there is no actual self-teaching software. So, AI learns behaviors, like in Google, right? So, last time this person... typed in a T, they were looking at toys, so they populated with toy. But that's just memory, right, in the system. So learning software should be able to take a guess. So that's a guess too on toy. So learning software is being able to predict future behavior from past experiences, but differently than toy. I don't know how to explain this. Dan's going to have to cut this out because I'm sounding like an idiot. So anyhow, to continue. SIVs. 1250. And we proposed for this particular study that, so they're looking at adding 3 sites. So there would be 3 of those conducted for a total amount of 3750. So you're going to have to cut out. I just rambled on about...
we're not editing anything.
Yeah, you're going to have to edit. I rambled on about
we'll keep
AI.
It. We'll keep it. It's awesome.
All right.
So we're, that's it?
Yeah, I did SIVs.
Okay, SIV. Okay, 1250. You told them that?
Yeah, and 3 of them.
Per site. Per site.
It was 3 sites. 3750.
Let me just tell you that, not you, but the people listening. Okay.
The 1250? Two people that are still listening.
Yeah, 12. I turned that off. This is definitely not a YouTube one, but this is why the podcast is awesome. You can go deep down the rabbit hole, okay?
Well, my two people are, you're gonna, of all the people that start this video, 2 will make it through the entire thing. But yeah, cool.
Hopefully the one asking the question, because yeah, if she doesn't make it.
Hopefully that's one of the 2.
Yeah, okay. So SIV, $12.50, it's cheap, super cheap.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even pay a monitor that.
Huh?
When I go monitor as a contract CRA, just a freelancer, not for our own company,
sure,
for someone else's company, I get $2,200.
Yeah, and your cost should be, your legit cost should be your cost plus 30%.
Okay, good. Thanks for that. So it would be $2,200, and then 30% of that would be the CRO profit.
Yep.
So it would be like $2,800.
Right? Additional overhead.
Yes. Well, you got to factor in the lead CRA stuff. Like, okay, the monitor goes out, do the SIV, you pay them, they write a report. Somebody has to review that report or write comments, send sure. it back. Yep. That's a lead CRA. All right, so with this, we were doing this at cost just to win this project.
Yep.
Okay.
And we did.
And we did, but yes, we did. We did. And there was another group that was competing, and their costs were lower. Were you on that call? And then the sponsor told us...
they didn't like them.
Yeah.
Like,
but
like personality-wise, did not like them.
Right, but they came in at lower cost than us. How?
On some things. It wasn't all
okay,
things.
Okay, I was about to say, because we were like pretty... well, I mean, we cut this pretty much to the bone.
Yeah.
You and I weren't going to make money off of this.
It was more about the experience.
Yes. And it still is. And it's actually really good for our students.
Oh, yeah.
Our students have been doing the SIVs. We just had one on Friday do SIV. We're going to finish up that SIV. Why?
Okay, cool.
Why? What's, you know, why?
You might want to read the CFR in terms of CRA work.
Yeah. she assisted with doing that.
You didn't say that. You said did.
No, no. It's written on the report who I am.
Okay.
And that I'm supervising her.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was there, but I let her handle most of it.
Sure.
And then when the PI comes, we finish out the SIV with the PI. See you later, YouTube. The cameras will self-destruct. Right? So, and then the IMVs, okay, we charge $2,500 per IMV, which is an interim monitoring visit, which is most of the, and back in the day, this is where the CROs would make all their money, is days on site.
But that included all additional fees, too, that $2,500.
Yeah.
That includes the lead CRAs. Airfare. No, that included everything.
Oh, wow.
If you look, hold your mouse over the 2500.
Oh, yeah, that thing. 2 days on site for the IMV. It's up to 2 days on site.
Yeah, and included airfare,
car. No. There's another line item for that. It's a CRA travel cost. Specify maximum invoiceable,
$2,400. Oh.
Airfare, car, hotel, food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. That we would have... But this should then be a non-profit.
No, it's something like that. I'd have to get the contract out. I don't think this is exactly right.
Well, we got to look at the invoice you sent, because you might be shortchanging us.
Yeah, the invoice I just sent was for like $1,750, I think.
Well, I think we're going to have to look at that.
But that's not for an IMV.
This is for anything. CRA travel.
We have yet to do an IMV, so...
Right. We did the SIVs, yeah. And that would be $1,250.
So yeah, I haven't...
$1,250 plus the travel, the expenses, but if it was a virtual SIV, there were no expenses, so
that
would make sense. I think you're right. But if we had to go travel, like when we went to New York and did it, we billed them for the airfare, the Airbnb, food.
I don't recall. You can bring up the invoice.
No, I sent that invoice.
I know you did, but you could bring it up and look.
Yeah, let's do it. Them. All right, keep talking while I do this.
What am I going to talk about? Go back to AI.
Yeah, talk about AI.
I mean, most of the audience log off with that one.
How am I going to find this?
DSCS invoice.
SIV invoice. I found yours.
Yeah, it's not that.
And I found mine that I sent you.
There you go.
Okay, boom. SIV. Okay, because we did two of them. Actually, we got $1,750.
Yeah, but if you look, plus $800 per site for all expenses. So
airfare for us.
So it's $2,550.
Yeah, airfare and
it's just
Airbnb.
Like the thing. We took out the line.
Yeah, but we're billing more for our SIV here.
No, go back. Okay. It's $2,550.
That's an IMV.
Or, I mean,
SIV. We did an SIV.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what's going on then.
We did $1,750 for the SIV. We increased it. $800 for the airfare and Airbnb.
So one went down and the other went up.
Yes, unless if we look at this, because this is not the one I sent them. This is the one we did later with someone else.
Oh.
Or before with someone else.
Okay.
This was for a hospital we sent an RFP to, remember?
Yes, now I do.
Yeah. And we actually increased the costs. Yeah, and there was no overhead on this one either. So yeah, and the one you sent was
the same.
Good. Except, and there were no travel fees, so that's fine.
No expenses.
For yeah. Them. And they didn't pay us that yet. But it hasn't been a month. Okay. Alright. Back to the bid proposal. Who knows who's getting any value out of this one? Maybe someone's just like on the treadmill right now and, you know, has nothing else to do. But at least we're helping this one person out.
You know, it'd be nice if there were a way to find out who watched this to the end.
Well, it's listen. It's listen.
What do you mean?
You can't watch this. It's on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay, listen.
Yes.
Who listened to the entire thing?
The analytics? It will show you the analytics, like, on average... You know,
time spent.
Yes, but it won't show you names of who's listening.
Okay.
So it might tell you like location or IP address, but it won't tell you.
So you know if the audio is, say, a half hour, right?
Yeah.
And the average is 10 minutes. Most people didn't make it to the end. But the average is like more than 15 minutes, more than half.
Yeah.
Then you have a few people making it to the end, and so on, right? The higher it gets up.
This one's going on for a while, so let's go through this.
Wow. Been doing going at this for 38 minutes. Like I said, nobody's still on.
And you've been rambling about AI when I went to the bathroom. A lot of Diet Coke today. All right, I had to go. All right, IMVs, $2,500 each. Closeout visits, $1,250. Again, these are cheap. CROs back in the day would make all their money on days on site for monitors. Okay, and that's why monitors get stressed out, because they were sent on sites all the time.
Right.
Now, sponsors are demanding more efficient monitoring. Okay, that's why risk-based monitoring is gaining prevalence. Still not the main strategy being used. This industry is slow.
Yeah, there's not a one at our site right now. That's right. We're sitting in. There's not one study that's
still traditional risk-based. And they're paying for it. But ultimately, we're all paying for it because we pay for our medications.
Yep.
All right. EDC design, build, EDC testing, EDC QA. These are all the EDC stuff. Let me go through some of the other things. Collect and review essential docs during startup. Manage IRB submissions. Prep, review, and distribute study logs, tracking sheets, other documents. Prep and submit report of study termination to agency or client. IRB fees. IRB fees annual review. IRB fees startup. EDC design, EDC testing, EDC QA. Programming, randomization. You get the data transfer, generation and QC of final subject PDFs, database hosting fees, DM project management. Project management's a big one. Mm-hmm. Luckily for the study we're on, we have one who is in-house.
Yep.
And that's the thing. Every bid proposal is going to be different, because every sponsor, even the same sponsor, for two different studies may have different capabilities for both of the studies. For one, they may allocate a PM. For the other one, no. For one, they may want CRAs. For the other one, they may want only lead CRAs, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Or maybe they want only data management. You don't know. We're going through everything. Data coding, data review, database finalization, draft tables, final primary TLG, interim analysis. I think that's about it. There's a lot that goes into managing a study.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the essentials. Did we leave anything important out? Not necessarily a line item, but is there a theme to this podcast?
No, I was actually thinking about 2 minutes ago, is where are we going with this now that it's the end?
It ends right now.
Well, if I were hosting this, I'm just co-host.
Well, you were hosting for 2 minutes.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, but I was barely talking about this topic. I would ask those who have experience in this field, right, making or submitting bids, to reach out to you and give you any advice they have. Maybe even an example of one of their bids.
Ah, okay. So you who is submitting, you who inspired this episode.
Not that person. Someone with experience.
Oh, okay. But let's do a call to action first for this person.
Okay.
Okay. Put something together. Obviously, you have the synopsis. We don't. And then send it to us, and we'll let you know if it's reasonable. Free of charge. No cost.
That's very kind of you.
I'll do it.
You like doing free stuff all the time.
If you send it to Chris, he's going to charge you a lot of bitcoins.
No.
All right. And then anyone who knows what the heck they're doing, like Luke Eddington. We can get this from Luke anytime.
Yeah,
and I think he has helped us.
Somebody other than Luke.
And didn't he help us?
Yeah, he did. The first one.
So a lot of these numbers are not...
Somebody other than Luke.
So these numbers are not just out of thin air. They're from... We had help.
Okay, somebody other than Luke. Give us your insight.
Okay. Ask anything we're missing.
Or
zeros can make their money.
Anything that we did wrong. And maybe even a bid proposal. An example of one.
Yeah, and you know what? I guess a good place to end this is... I probably get this email or phone call once a week from somebody out there saying, I want to open a CRO.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah.
They don't even know what a site is, but
open a CRO. Some don't know what a site is, but even the ones that do.
Yeah.
Last week, a CRA called me and said, hey, I've been a CRA for 12 years. I want to open a CRO. And I told her, no, you don't. What you want to open is a site, because the CROs... used to be profitable when you can exploit all the days on site from your hardworking CRAs.
Sure.
And you still can a little bit, but you're not getting into that crowded market. That's a losing game, and the sponsors know that. It's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. Right? What you really want to do is start a site and maybe grow that into an SMO or grow that into a network of sites. And then if you really want to add a CRO, you can add an ancillary service. Say, hey, hire us as an SMO, and we'll actually be your CRO too.
A lot better margins than an SMO.
A lot better. And then you can have your CRO be a loss leader. Mm-hmm. And say, hey, you know, you hire us as a CRO, and then, or you hire us as an SMO, we'll give you the CRO for free.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Much better strategy than just going solo as a CRO. Unless you're into virtual trials, and that's where you're getting at.
Before you say that,
you have a smile on your face.
Yeah, because I'm going back to AI.
Oh, you go ahead, have fun that one. I'll go to the bathroom again.
No, no, no. Signing off with this. So if anybody's stuck around this long, define AI. So I was saying how Google and what they do is not true AI, right? Where you, the last search you performed was for a toy. You type in T and it brings back a toy. Right? It's just playing off of, it's just off of memory, right? But I try to define AI, which I believe this is how it would be defined, is being able to learn from past behavior and predict future. Mm-hmm. Right? That would be true AI. But how would you define that differently than searching for toy? Right? Typing T in, it guesses you're looking for toy again. That's kind of falls under the same definition. But it's not the same thing. It's not what I meant.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, true AI is going to know what you're going to search for before you even do.
Before you even type toy.
No, no. Before you even think of searching for it. Like, they know what you're going to do tomorrow. Minority Report.
Have you seen that? Don't think. See, AI is thinking like a human being would. That's true AI.
True AI. I guess everyone could. So tell us, is that what you want to ask?
That's what I'm asking you.
The two people who stuck around?
No, I want you to define, in your opinion, what AI is for those two people.
Oh, dude, I don't know. I don't talk much about things I don't know. Just clinical trials.
So, but true AI.
True AI is
predicting. Would be like a human being, right? In which you don't need any real total past experience to have to be able to speculate what's going on.
What's coming to mind, and it's just one word, when you say define true AI, if I can do it in one word, it's proactive.
Yeah, I guess so. That's
what came to mind. I'm no expert.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Nothing for them?
Yeah, hopefully this was helpful.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Chris doesn't care what you think about AI. Catch you
later. What are they going to say? I can't hear them.
They'll email.
Okay, email Dan Chris, what AI is.
Chris@brkthru.org.
Thanks.
Chris@brkthru.org. See, it's breakthrough for short.
Yeah, thanks.
brkthru.org.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
So, hey, everybody, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, Dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.